And what a great reminder to us as we approach God's Word, how precious that is. Psalm 1, verse 2 says, "A righteous man's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Harriet Tubman, codenamed Moses, was a key figure in the Underground Railroad movement, rescuing slaves in the mid to late 1800s. Harriet was also one who meditated on Scripture and heard God's voice. Very devout follower of Christ, she would spend a lot of time in the Scripture and memorize God's Word and read God's Word and ponder God's Word. She loved Isaiah 16:3, "Hide the fugitives, do not betray them." She pondered passages in God's Word, and she would turn them into prayers, and she would begin to practice the presence of God throughout the day. She told her biographer, "I prayed all the time about my work everywhere. I was always talking to the Lord and pondering what he was saying. When I went to the horse trough to wash my face, and I took the water in my hands and I said, 'Oh Lord, wash me and make me clean.' When I took up the towel to wipe my face and my hands, I cried, 'Oh Lord, for Jesus' sake, wipe away all my sins.' When I took up the broom and began to sweep, I groaned, 'Oh Lord, whatever sin there is in my heart, sweep it out, Lord, clear and clean.'" Harriet's life helps us understand and helps us know what meditation looks like. Webster defines meditation as a deep, continued reflection. Okay, that's pretty good. Biblically, we can go a little further. Biblically, there are several words that are used to translate our word meditation. One comes from a word meaning to speak or utter sounds. In other words, to rehearse, to go over and over again in one's mind. It is to recall what God has said, as if we're whispering it to ourselves over and over again. Another word we find in Scripture means to mutter or to muse. In other words, we remember. It is to call to remembrance. And another word the Old Testament used for meditate means to bow down or respect or give attention to worship. So we're to understand from Scripture to meditate is to ponder deeply, to consider very seriously who God is and what God has done and what God has said. Psalm 119, verse 15 says, "I will meditate on your precepts and think about your ways." Psalm 77, 12 says, I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions." So we find it over and over again in God's Word, the concept of meditating. Biblically, meditating is mulling over and personalizing God's Word. It's allowing Him to speak. It's seeking to allow Him to speak to our heart, to speak to our life, to speak His truth into our life. We love air conditioning in Texas, don't we? I think this one just turned on. Getting a little warm in here. I know in the summertime, Laura and I will often crawl in bed and one will say to the other, and one of us, depends on which one it is, "Oh, I love air conditioning." Or we'll say, "Thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. You know, we get to sleep cool. What a blessing." Meditation is all about God conditioning. It's allowing His voice to circulate in our life and through our life and through our soul. To meditate is to get alone and be quiet enough before the Lord to totally concentrate on Him, to listen to Him, to allow Him to fill and saturate and just permeate our life. It's coming to the Lord with a teach me attitude. "Lord, teach me here. I want to simply get to know you more, and I want to learn who you are." And it's coming to Him with that attitude. It is to feed on Him and to allow Him to take His word and apply it to our life. is to mentally and spiritually chew on what we read in God's Word, like a cow chews its cud. I know that's kind of yuck, isn't it? But they do, don't they? They eat that grass, and they take that grass down in that stomach, and then throughout the day, you'll see them, and they're not eating the grass. They're not chewing the grass off the ground. They pull that grass back up, and they chew that stuff, and they get all the nourishment, all the nutrients they can out of that grass that they're feeding on. To mentally and spiritually chew on God's Word, to chew on God's presence, to extract all the nourishment that is there. And it is an infinite amount of nourishment. Take Jesus's first recorded miracle at the family wedding at Cana in John 2, for example, is a good one to get the idea of. Mary told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you," is what she told the servants. To meditate on that verse, we would do well to consider the weight of each of the words. Do whatever he tells you. 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 As we begin to ponder what that means and what that actually says, we're thinking deeply about what is there, right? What does it take to hear God's voice in meditation? Just a few things today about hearing God's voice. What does it take for us to do that? Well, right away we've got to say that it takes time. Anything and everything can remind us about the Lord and remind us about our relationship with Him. Anything and everything can do that. The sunshine, the beautiful sunshine, it's lovely today, this morning. It might be the rain that comes a little later or the storms that come a little later. Might be the wind, might be the clouds, might be a stream, might be the rocks, might be the stars, might be the trees. There are all kinds of things that can remind us about the Lord and our relationship with Him. But God speaks to us the loudest and the most faithfully. How? Through His Word. How would you respond to Jesus this morning if you were just to walk into this room? How would you respond to Him if He were to just open the door and walk into this room? Now, I got to tell you, He's already here. He's already here, and He's there every time with you when you turn to Him in meditation. Group took a journey across the jungle, and they were moving at a very fast clip, very fast pace across the jungle, and at a stop for rest, the tribesmen that were hired to guide them through refused to go on. And they said, "We must wait for our souls to catch up with our bodies. We've been moving too fast, and we're not all here. We need to take a little time to adjust. We must make some decisions about where and when we will meditate. If we don't set a time aside to focus on Him, it won't happen. So we've got to make some decisions about that. So as far as time, first of all, it needs to be intentional. Time must be intentional. How do you place a tea bag into hot water? And then you're ready to sip that thing, right? No, you drop that tea bag in there and you allow it to set and soak and saturate and seep. And eventually all that flavor comes out of the tea into the water. You allow it to stay there for a while. We have to be that intentional with the Lord in meditation if we want to hear from Him. Kind of like Isaac in Genesis 24:63. That's the first time meditation is mentioned for us in the scriptures. Isaac, we're told there, went out to meditate in the field toward evening. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. Isaac is out in the field meditating. What's he meditating about? Well, Abraham said, it's time for my son to get married. But I don't want a wife from among the Canaanites. It's time that we get one from my homeland. So he sends his servant to his homeland to go and pick out a wife for his son. And he gives him some criteria about what to look for. And he says, bring her back. And so the servant goes and meets Rebekah at the well. Rebekah draws him water. Rebekah draws water for his camels. And he rewards her. He talks with Rebekah's dad. And Rebekah's dad says, okay, yes, I understand. You may have my daughter. And she says, yes, I will go. And so they make their way to Isaac. And we have Isaac out in the field meditating. Maybe he was afraid of what his dad's servants would bring him back. I don't know. When Rebekah and Ezer came back from the distant land, I got a feeling it wasn't the camels that Isaac was looking at. He was interested at what God was providing. Today, everyone would want to know what was wrong with Isaac out walking alone in the field. What's that boy doing out there? You know, we see someone walking and we think, well, they're either out of gas, they're out of money, they're out of prison, or they're out of their mind. What are they doing while walking? Well, Isaac is out there before sunset. He's out there in a quiet field where the air cool and refreshing. The maker and owner of it all at his disposal. He's out there seeking him in prayer and meditation. When we intentionally meditate on God and his instructions, we put ourselves in the right place. I kind of like the navigator's approach to God's word with their human hand figure. Have you ever used that one? Four fingers for hearing the word of God, reading the word of God, studying the word of God, memorizing the word of God, and then the thumb is meditating on the word of God. We can't live according to God's instructions if we don't meditate on what the Bible says and calls us to do. Okay? That time must be intentional. Time must also be sufficient. How much time are we talking? You know, I got to know. What kind of time frame are we talking about? Well, it depends on your need. And it depends on what God wants to do. God wants to equip us for our life situations and our life needs. And so how long does it take? When God called Joshua to lead the people into the promised land, he says in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. So God told Joshua to meditate on his word for 10 minutes in the morning, right? God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. Now, some are morning people and some are night people. Isn't that amazing? You might be a morning person. You know, you wake up and you're just ready to go meet the day. And some folks wake up and it's like, is it day? I'm not sure yet. Some folks in the evening are like, I gotta go to bed, I'm so tired. And some folks are still pretty awake. They still are enjoying what's going on. And we're different that way. Psalm 119:147 says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. That's a morning person. You know, it is important for us to seek the Lord each morning. It is important to start our day declaring how dependent we are on the Lord. Psalm 119:148 says, my eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Wait a minute, he's doing both. I rise before dawn, cry for help, I wait for your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches that I meditate on your word. Even at night, especially when sleep doesn't seem to be coming. Psalm 4:4, meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Also Psalm 63:6, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you at the night watches. This is a picture of committing God's word to memory so that during those sleepless nights and at other times too, God can bring it to our attention. It was as Joshua would continue to feed on God's word, to meditate, to consider its meaning, to consider its demands on his own life, that God would use him. God's word is not meant for fast food. It's meant for a good long chew. By the way, it chews on us as well. What else does it take to hear God's voice in meditation besides time? It takes receptivity. Receptivity. And a key there would be first to watch the noise. Constantly being in a hurry and constant noise do not help us meditate, do not help us hear God's voice. The world seems to clamor for our attention all the time, doesn't it? It's a constant clamor for our attention. Advertising folks tell us that a person can be exposed to up to 4,000 advertisements a day. Not everybody is. Some folks may be exposed to more, but probably a number of us would say, yeah, 4,000 advertisements a day. That boggles the mind. I know when I was young, I enjoyed keeping the music on in the car, driving along. And some days I still do that, but on other days I often enjoy the quiet. Just to reach over and turn the knob or push the button and enjoy the quiet, to do some thinking. Hey, if we meditated in the quiet of our car on the way home from work, think how much easier it would be to deal with the nutcase drivers out there. If we did that, what a better attitude we'd have when we came home to our family after we dealt with a lot of nutcases during the day. We don't have to bring them home. We're told in the Gospels that Jesus often found it necessary to get away from the noise, to seek the Father. Jesus did that. In his book, How to Listen to God, Charles Stanley says that the place is not important, but the decibel scale is. We've got to lower the noise. We've got to get to a place away from the avalanche of noise so that we can hear his quiet voice. The old preacher Vance Havner told young preachers, do not be afraid to give much time to solitary walks and meditation. Don't be afraid to take time to go for a walk and to ponder what God is saying to your heart. God speaks today through his word, his final revelation to man. He doesn't usually speak to us through an audible voice. It'd scare some of us spitless if he did. But wow, does he ever move our spirit? Does he ever impress on our mind? Does he ever bring scripture to life? Does he ever reveal a truth that we've missed before? That he speaks peace to our heart? Yeah, he speaks. When you've gotten alone with God and you've read his word and you've prayed, you've meditated on who he is, on what he is saying, and you've listened to him, then you're ready to walk in a world of constant noise. But until you go to him in meditation, you're not ready. Psalm 46:10, we know it, we quote it sometimes. Be still, know I'm God. Cease striving The American Standard says, and know that I am God. What's the noise? Get to where you can concentrate on God and His voice, where your relationship with Him can grow. Remember, a growing relationship is not a one-way conversation, right? Lord willing, next week we'll talk about prayer, where we do most of the talking, but in meditation we're tuning into God's voice, to what He has already written down in His book. We're tuning in. So watch the noise. Secondly, watch the attitude. Jeremiah Denton was a POW in North Vietnam for 7 terrible years. One of the highest ranking American captives, he was put through grueling torture. He was held in solitary confinement most of the time that he was a captive. But he not only survived, he returned to serve as a U.S. Senator from Alabama. How did he survive that? And Denton would be quick to tell you one invaluable tool that sustained him and strengthened him was to quote and meditate on God's Word. Now, hopefully God doesn't have to put you in solitary confinement to get you in the attitude to listen to Him and to seek Him. He can, but hopefully He doesn't have to do that. We must be ready to listen with an attitude to submit to Him and to what He says. To meditate means that we go over and over a scripture and we ask questions like, God, what in the world do you mean here? God, what are you saying to me here? What difference is this verse or this passage supposed to make in my life? And that's what meditation is all about. It's allowing God to take His holy word and to change our attitude, to change our choices, to change our behavior as a result of giving ourselves over to what He is saying. How do you become a good listener? You do so by learning to be quiet and asking questions, right? Guys, I can tell you how I can't tell you how happy you'd make your wife if you ask her a deep question and then listen attentively for a while to her answer. She thinks something's wrong with you. Becoming proficient at asking the right questions means that you can become a useful hearer. You can receive valuable information. You can learn more about the person who is speaking, becoming more aware of how to love them, how to encourage them, of what they need. In order to become a better listener to God's voice, we approach the scriptures actively asking the questions. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. Very valuable questions as we approach God's word. Now, somebody might say, Pastor, I don't have time to do that. I barely have enough time to read, a couple chapters. I don't have time enough to do that. Can I suggest something? Cut your reading short a few minutes and put that time into meditating on what you have read. You don't have to, you're not punching a clock here. You're not trying to chalk off a bunch of numbers, a length. Instead, you're getting something out of it. Then think about it when you're doing other things. You're showering or shaving or brushing your teeth or doing your hair, on your drive to work or school. How about when you pray for your lunch meal? I enjoy mowing and enjoy yard work. I just do. And one reason I do is because it's an opportunity to ponder. It's an opportunity to think. I don't put headphones on, listen to music when I do it. I don't have conversation with anybody when I do it. I'm just thinking. Just spending some time pondering. Ask God, what are you saying to me today? And what do I need to do? I expect we all need to slow down a little bit more and meditate a lot more. Parents, you want to give your kids a lifetime compass? You want to give them something that will impact them the rest of their lives? Something to help them be a success in whatever they do? I've got it for you, and it's even better than academic achievements. It's even better than playing team sports. You know what it is? How about teaching them how to meditate on God's Word? Teach them how to learn to listen to God. If you'll teach them about how to learn to meditate on God's Word and how to listen to God, I can't tell you with that ability, the sky is the limit. It's amazing what can be accomplished through their life, no matter how smart they are or how much ability they have, because they're tapping into the one who makes all the difference. The sky's the limit for that kid. How can you benefit from practicing meditation? How can you benefit from practicing meditation? I'm so glad you asked. Meditation produces a few things in our life. One, it changes us. It produces a change in our spirits, in our souls, in our emotion. Even our physical body changes as we meditate. Gives us a whole new perspective, because it gives us God's perspective. A whole new perspective about our problems, about our enemies, about our obstacles. We see them in a new light. Our tiredness is lessened. We are peaceful and relaxed. Sleep comes easier. Our attitude is better. And God's presence seems nearer. God's presence seems more precious to us. Our mind is renewed. We have a new vision. Our soul is calmed because we know God is walking with us. Our life has more stability. Our heart is changed. Our want-tos are changed. There's an inner joy. There's an anticipation of what God is going to do next because we sense God's presence nearer. That's beneficial, isn't it? Today, there's just too few believers willing to take time to learn to listen to Him. So the question would be to each of us, will you be one of those? Will you be one of those that learns to listen to Him? Is God able to have your absolute undivided attention, even for a little while? You know, plain old, simple, exciting you. He loves you. He loves having you all to Himself. Has He had you all to Himself lately? All it takes is intentional and sufficient time. A receptivity that limits the noise. An attitude that submits to the Lord, to what He wants to say. What a tremendous blessing to spend more and more time meditating on God and His Word, and in doing so, to get to know Him better and to be able to better hear His voice. Can we pray? Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity day by day, moment by moment, to meditate on You and on Your Word. Lord, we'll confess that we do not establish intentional time, sufficient time, often, and we miss all that You would like to do in us. Lord, today we would just make a decision to be more intentional and to allow sufficient time to allow You to speak. Lord, seeing all the benefits, being reminded of all the benefits that are there, Lord, today we just say, Lord, we need that. Most of all, God, we need you. Lord, I thank you that you seek us, that you love us, that you desire our presence, that you invite our relationship with you, that you like spending time with us. Thank you, Lord, for that. And Lord, may we respond in like kind. And Lord, as we begin to watch you make a difference, make a change, Lord, may we just walk in excitement with that and thanksgiving. I pray, Father, for that one who has never come into that personal relationship with you because of their sin. They're separated. Today, they would accept the sacrifice that's already been made for them, Jesus' death on the cross, Jesus' resurrection from the tomb, so there could be forgiveness and a new relationship established with you that they can have. I pray, Lord, today they would make that decision to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord. We wait before you, Father, in Jesus' name. Would you stand? Congregation, what's God saying to you today? How do you need to respond to him? We'll wait a moment. If you need to come publicly, come on and do that today as we sing. Come on.